Scripture reading is from John 20. And if you want to follow along in the Pew Bibles, it's on page 1545, starting with verse 11. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying, and as she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him," page turn, "carried him away, Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I have ascended to my Father and to your Father, to my God and to your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he said these things to her.
Amen. Amen. Yes, thank you, Ray. You know, these words come out of John chapter 20. I got to tell you, this is so adorable. It's so cute, actually. Walking in this morning, I was here already this morning, but coming in through the door this morning, it was a young family who brought the church, and their young boy, Easton. How old is Easton? 5? 6. And Easton had his Bible, very proud of his Bible, and he wanted to know what verses we were reading today, because he wanted to read along. And so I kneeled down and I told him, "We're reading from the Gospel of John," and his eyes got big. And he said, "19? I said, "John 20, you're so close." But it touched me. I think, hey, Easton, I think you and I are going to always have a connection, okay? That was just so impressive to me. And he came, and he had an idea. Let the little children lead us all, yeah? As I said earlier, today has been a beautiful, glorious day all throughout. It's been a glorious day throughout the world as people around the world have been gathering to celebrate the good news about what Christ has done for all of us. But as we look at the story today from John chapter 20, we see that in the midst of this story, there is some bad news. And yet also in the midst of the story, there is some good news. And that's really how life often is, isn't it? It's kind of a funny mix of good and bad coming at different levels at different times. There was a woman who was once sitting in an airport waiting very nervously for her husband to return from skydiving lessons. As she's sitting there and she's kind of pins and needles, the pilot walks in and he approaches her and he says, "Ma'am, I am so sorry, but there's been an accident. I've got some good news and I've got some bad news." "Well, the bad news is your husband fell out of the plane. Now, the good news is he had a parachute on. But the bad news is that he hit the ground before it could open. But the good news is we hadn't taken off yet." See, it's just, you Yeah, you know, we live in a world where, you know, bad news seems to surround us, doesn't it? We're oddly we bristle at the thought of all the bad news, and we complain about the fact there's always bad news, but at the same time we're addicted to all the bad news, aren't we? And if you think you're not addicted, just we can talk later. But you are. We are all drawn to bad news. That's why they put bad news on the TV, because they know that we want to watch it. And so it continues to go, but as it does, it becomes a toxic thing for all of us, that we're surrounded in this world of bad news, and we need to know that there is something still that can hold us together. That's part of the beauty of Easter. You know, sometimes it's bad news and good news. Sometimes it's good news and bad news. I heard another one. This was a husband and wife, and the wife came in and she said, "Hon, I've got some bad news and good news. Which do you want first?" And he says, "Well, give me the good news." And she says, "The good news is the airbag in your new car works perfectly." You don't even need the bad news, do you? No. Or sometimes, I know for me, sometimes it seems like bad news just piles on top of more bad news, you know. "Hon, I got bad news. I knocked your new cactus off the shelf today, but I've got worse news." "What's worse?" "I caught it before it hit the ground." You know, oh. You know, it's just one of those things that you just, how does it go? Sometimes for you, maybe it's ups and downs. Maybe it's like a yo-yo we're on, but sometimes it just seems like it goes on a streak and the bad news tends to pile up. The Easter story kind of is similar to that, actually, if you think about it. We look and we began there in verse, actually, we jump to the beginning of the story before what Ray read for us today. In the very beginning, it says, Mary, before it was even sun had come up, Mary went to the tomb. This was bad news. The bad news was, in fact, yeah, let me go with my bad news. The bad news is Jesus was dead. The story starts in the midst of this, that 2 days prior, on Friday, he had been crucified. Everyone saw it. 2 days prior, following the crucifixion, he was buried, put into the ground. He was dead. Sabbath day came, they had to wait. But Sunday comes, and Mary and the women go to the tomb. But they don't go there in celebration. They go there in grief, because this world that they once thought they had known has now been turned upside down. That's how bad news can do to us sometimes. It can just suck all the life, all the oxygen out of our life, to where we don't feel like there's anything left for us. So as Mary approaches the tomb that morning, she is walking in the midst of this bad news. But as she arrives at the tomb, and maybe you know the story, if not, go back and read the beginning of chapter 20. She gets there and she finds that the tomb is open. It's not closed like she expected. She can't open the tomb and go in to take care of the body, because the body is not there. And she is just appalled. This news has gotten worse because his body has been removed. She does not know what happened to him. Story goes on that she races back and she tells the others that they have taken the body. I don't know where it is. And so some of the disciples come, Peter and John in particular, run to the tomb, and we see they walk in, they look, they see, they believe, but they don't understand. And they go back to their homes, it says, but Mary remains. She has returned to the grave again, but still in this cloud of grief, this darkness that has fallen upon her. And here she is, in the midst of what feels like now even worse news. Now the good news of the story begins to turn when she runs across somebody she assumes is the gardener. And so there's someone there who maybe can help her. This is good news so far. "Tell me, what have you done with this body so that I might go and take care of it?" And this gardener says, "Mary." You know, here's the great news of the story. The great news of the story is Jesus is alive, yes, but he speaks to her by name. That darkness that had so engulfed her experience had been broken by his understanding of who she was, by him speaking to her and to her heart, to be able to say to her, "Mary." And in that, she knew that she was well because of his speaking directly to her. There's something so profound about that personal aspect of our relationship with God, and we see it kind of encapsulated here. All people around the world, we're all prone to being religious. But there is something so profound about not simply being religious, following patterns and habits, but moving in a way that connects us to the one who created us. Coming into a personal relationship where we call him our Father and he calls us by name. There is something so beautiful and so life-giving about that moment we see happening here for Mary Magdalene in the garden, but we see it happening in each of us when we recall that moment when we said yes to Jesus. And when he says that, and when she realizes that he is Jesus, he is alive, he has been resurrected, everything changes. You know, this is a beautiful picture for all of us because, again, we live in a good news, bad news world. We live in a world where we're surrounded often by all the bad things that happen, all the things that we hoped for that didn't work out, all the things that have happened to us that we wish had not, and yet we live in the midst of this brokenness, and yet we have a relationship that God opens this door for all of us. And there is something so profound in this idea that everything changes. You know, this is also taken from a bigger picture here. We look at this and say, this is our story too, isn't it? I mean, all of us as part of the human race, this is our story too, that we have a good news, worst news, bad news, worst news, good news, great news story to tell as well. All of us as humans, we can see this in ourselves, we can see it in God's word, that all of us are separated from our Creator God because of the sin in our life. This becomes part of what it means for us to be human, that we are fallen, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And the worst news than that, even worse than knowing that we are all separated from God, is that there is nothing that we can do in and of ourselves to make it better. There's nothing. We can't bridge that gap. We can't try to be good. We can't try to be better. We can't give a little extra. We can't work a little harder. We can't try to pretend to be something that we're not in hopes of somehow fooling God into saying that's good enough. We cannot bridge the gap. But the good news is that God has opened a way. Okay. When I say God has opened a way, because it's Easter, if it wasn't Easter, you wouldn't have to say anything. But because it's Easter, I want you to give a clap. I want you to say hallelujah, because this is the good news that God has opened a way. This is the good news. Yeah, we've been separated by sin, but God said that's not good enough. We can't come to him. He said, that's fine. I will come to you. That's what Easter is all about, that Jesus goes to the cross, that he dies on the cross, and he raises from the grave. That is what Easter is all about. That is the good news. And the best news is that it is a free gift. That God, out of his love for you, offers to you. Thank you, Lord. At the tomb, Jesus said to her, Mary. As he extends that grace to you, whatever your name is, I know there's a couple Marys here. But there's a few others. I mean, we got a Ray and a Jeremy and a Lori and a Pam. You know, yeah, we got an Austin and an Alex and a Dick and a Val. But you know what? There's a whole lot of us here. And this is the good news. This is the good news for each and every one of us and every person in humanity, that there is a gift waiting for us to simply say yes to this grace that God has opened for us. We have Easter as our proof. We wonder if there really more to this life? And we have to look back at Easter and say, yes, there is. Jesus was raised. And because he was raised, we can also take hold of that gift This is the beauty of what Easter is all about. And because we have that gift, because we have been given this opportunity, now everything changes for us as well. Mary, when she heard that good news and she heard her name, she left that place running to tell others. That person who came in the midst of the sadness and grief and despair has now been transformed in an instant. Why? Because the presence of God in her life has transformed that despair into joy to share with the world around her. Friends, I don't know what you brought in with you today, how much darkness you're carrying, how much despair you're walking through, how much grief you're having to slog through here today, feeling like you're all alone, but you are not, because of the one who calls you by name is there with you. He is there with you, and we can continue to walk that out. This becomes an everything changes moment for all of us. Having received that grace, having received that gift, we now move into a new era. We are invited into something brand new. And if you're not excited about something brand new, we need to check your pulse, okay? Because this is really good news. We're moving into a new era because of this touch on our life. We are invited to something different. We're invited to a place where our desire to have our own way gives way. Hear me on this. Where our desire to have our own way gives way to the desire to lift others up. Friends, if we as a church cannot do that, if we are only looking out for our own self and getting our own way or having things go according to my plan, we are going to be stuck in the old way. We might as well stay in the cemetery, stay in the tombs, because we got something new that is going on, and he calls us beyond. We've got an era that we're going to move into where our insecurities can be healed in the pool of this acceptance and love of God, where our insecurities are no longer going to be there, that we don't have to prove our place or prove our worth, because we are known and we are loved. We want to go to a place where the insensitivity of others doesn't trigger us to strike back and return hurt for hurt, but we can move into a new era where we, as those who've been redeemed and loved by God, can, instead of giving hurt back, can give grace back. Man, does the world need that. We're going to be invited to abdicate the seat of judgment that we often sit in and choose instead. We're invited to be because he first loved us. That's what we're invited to. We're invited to be a new people, a new changed people, because of what Easter means for each and every one of us. We're invited to a new era where wounds of the past and the fears of the uncertainties of the future can all be melted away, because you know why? Because Jesus rose on Easter. Okay, that's the where we clap, and that's where we say hallelujah. I tell you, if that doesn't get you going, I don't know what's wrong, because I'm going to check my pulse here, just make sure I'm still going. Whew, yes. There's a song we're going to sing it as we close today. I just want to quote part of the lyric of that song for you today. It says, "Because he lives, I can face tomorrow." Now, I don't know what your tomorrow looks like from your vantage point here today. But regardless of what it may look like to you from your vantage point, he lives, all fear is gone. I don't know what it is that is it makes you insecure. I don't know what it is that makes you feel fearful. I don't know what it is about the future that has its hands on you, strangling your throat. I want you to know, though, that because he lives and because he has risen, we can. Because I know he holds the future, and I know that life is worth the living. Not because I'm making something of my life, not because I'm carving some new path, not because I'm becoming famous or rich or anything else. The reason that life is worth the living is why? Because he lives. Because he lives. And so as long as we have breath, so long as we are alive, God has something for us to do. That's the reason you're here. And if you don't know what it is, if you don't know what it is your mission to figure it out. Don't say I'm an accident. Don't say I'm a problem. Don't say that somehow I'm a misfit. God has put you here on purpose for a reason, and that reason is between you and him. He's going to have to help you figure it out. If you're talking to me and telling me that, you're wrong, because if you're taking breath, he's still got purpose for you. And it begins here and begins today, because he lives. I want to invite us. We're going to stand together. I want to pray over us, and I'm going to invite our worship leading team to come today, and we're going to sing that song together, because he lives, we can face tomorrow. Father, as we gather today and as we continue to worship today, as we get ready to depart from one another, continue to maintain in us, Father, that sense of your presence and that sense of worship throughout this day. I thank you for the opportunity to gather with family today, to gather with friends. I pray for those griefs of those friends or family that are separated by relationship breakage or by time or by distance or by the sadness and grief of loss. Father, I want to lift up this day and just pray that you and us that to be magnified, that we would continue to hold on to the hope which you have placed within us, that it would continue to grow throughout the day, continue to hold us and buoy us up as we move into our tomorrows. So, Lord, we lift this prayer to you, even as we lift our hearts, our voices to you. Continue to, God, to have your way with us today. It is because of the resurrection that we live. It is because of the resurrection that we have hope. It is because of the resurrection that we will pursue you with all we have. Thank you for your gift to us. In Jesus' name, amen.